Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Marks and Reese. It's a Monday. Last time we spoke, I'm John, he's Ike. Last time we spoke, Ike.
What's up, Johnny Marks?
I think we both had concern what was going to happen over the weekend, and it happened over the weekend. It was a long weekend for this city, for this country. As we are here on Monday afternoon, we'll keep you updated on if things are happening in the city. We're looking out at 30th Street Station here, Ike. So, as far as we know or we can tell, there's nothing currently major going on, but I guess it could happen at any moment. But you know, I heard you on the morning show this morning, Ike. I listened to what you said last week about George Floyd's killing. Mm-hmm. I listened to it again this morning. And I can only speak from my perspective as a white dude. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm embarrassed to be a white guy. No, because I'm not. I mean, the police officer that's a murderer, like, I would never associate with somebody like that. Or the other cops that weren't doing anything about that, I would never associate with those people, right? I'm just tired of it, man. Like, I'm tired of them. I'm tired of the killings. You were saying it on Friday. I feel so hopeless to what's going on. And for so long, I've just buried my head in the sand because I work on a sports show, mm-hmm. and I don't want to bring politics into the conversation because that's not what people tune in to listen to hear. Sometimes it'll bleed a little bit into it, and you'll talk about it. But for the longest time, I have just been – it's too much. And I just have buried my head in the sand and just said, you know what? Oh, another incident. I'm not even going to worry about it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm not even going to pay attention. And, you know, I got kids, man, and I got kids that are going to be living for a really long time. And I thought to myself, I said, if they were watching TV right now with me, what would they ask me? Like, how would I explain what's going on right now? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I would. You know why? Because you can't explain it. It doesn't make any sense. Everybody seems to acknowledge that there's an issue. There's an issue that's going on in this country. But yet it's going backwards. It's going backwards. I remember Rodney King in 1992 and wondering, how the hell does that happen in this country? It's almost 30 years later. Mm-hmm. And not only does it continue to happen, now we can actually see it happen because everybody's got a cell phone.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the frustrating part for minorities is that sometimes a cell phone actual video of a crime against a minority, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to some. And I'm glad you're being honest with how you've sort of, internalize some of these things that happen in the world, especially when it comes to police brutality and things of that nature. And then when something happens to a person like George Floyd and it's put on Front Street, we talked about many others that have been killed at the hands of police officers unjustifiably so. And what's sad, John, is And we're going to have 4 hours here to discuss it today, and I'm sure it'll carry on past today because we need to continue to have these discussions. But there are a lot of people that think and feel the same way you do, that they almost become numb to it. That's what I heard. They're either because it doesn't affect them, it doesn't affect their community, and it's almost like having a mirror held up to you, and you almost have to deal with some sort of guilt that needs to be internalized and embraced and accepted. And then force people to make a change that you don't want to necessarily direct that type of energy towards. So you just choose to ignore it. And I'm not saying that from a malice standpoint. It's just more or less more bad news that I don't want to internalize right now. And unfortunately, that's what minorities and African Americans that were out there protesting about Saturday and have protested in the past, that has been their biggest issue, is that their pain and their crying and their voices fall on deaf ears to those that can actually make a difference. When you're talking about systematic racism and how things are sort of just set up and the deck is stacked against us. So when you see these protests, when you see guys kneeling before the national anthem and things of that nature, this is why they were doing it, to draw attention to it. To draw attention to it. It takes a situation to be forced, that we're forced into, like a pandemic, where you don't have many other distractions, right? I mean, so what happened last week, you can't get away from. It's there. It's at the forefront. It's news. And it is boiled over and carried over because people are tired. People are tired. And there's a fear amongst minorities that even though that officer has been placed under arrest and charged, I think it's third degree murder, type of manslaughter. You know what that says to the black community? You know what that says to minorities? Oh, here we go. The fix is in. That's first degree murder as far as in our eyes is murder. Whether what degree it is, we view that as he intentionally choked that man out with his knee. Right? And so when you hear it, when you see the charges come and then the other three officers having been arrested, that's where that frustration sort of boiled over into the weekend. Because it's like, A, it took too long for you to arrest the officer, and B, the other three officers who stood by and allowed this to happen haven't been charged. So we feel like, yeah, people are saying they hear the pain and they understand, they know how horrible it was and horrific it was. I don't know how you can watch that video and not have that sort of feeling, come away with that feeling. But people are saying, yeah, it's in your face, but watch what the criminal justice system does
about it.
Watch what they do about it. And what they do about it says how much they value George Floyd's and people that look like him, their lives. Right? Because if that's just for an example, and had that been a woman or a white woman that was killed that way, what would the reaction be?
Oh, immediate arrest, right? Conviction.
Right?
No, I mean, you're right. It would have been looked at much differently.
So people in the African-American community, they feel like they saw that on video, and they're still having to be forced to do something about it.
But like, here's the thing, right? Like, this we've seen this enough. I mean, we're talking about a couple incidents just in a couple weeks. Not just from police. These are a couple of incidents that happened over a couple of weeks. But also, we're seeing this again and again and again and again from the police and brutality towards. Not towards white people or towards black people. I mean, it's specific, and nothing's being done about it. We're not talking about for a year or two. I had mentioned 1992. That's where I can say that I officially realized, like, wow, like, this is crazy what's going on. That's where I realized as a teenager what was going on. And, you know, it happened long before 1992, but yet still we're in 2020, and we all know that we should be better than this, and we're not, and yet it still continues. So I guess the question is, now what? Right? Like, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so we know what we saw this weekend. We reacted to it, and we'll still react to it. But, I mean, now what, Ike? Right? Like, now what?
Well, I mean, I think people who have the power to make change have to recognize what's going on and make the necessary changes. Like, I would imagine sensitivity training is needed, right? These police officers who have a tough job to do, they need more training in the area of being able to de-escalate situations, preserving life, theirs as well as whomever may be an alleged who may be committing a crime. And these are things. See, you know what gets lost in this, John? And this is why people are also outraged. This is over, allegedly, a $20 forgery check. Mm-hmm. Now, you mean to tell me that type of action was necessary for someone for $20? Like for $20?
He didn't have a weapon. He wasn't an armed robbery.
You already have him handcuffed.
Well, at any point, they could have pulled him up and put him in a squad car.
Right.
At any point.
Right.
And the other two cops that were leaning on him, the other police officers that were there as well, anybody could have stopped it at any point.
Right. You're not,
the guy's crying for his life.
You're not investigating a potential murderer, somebody who committed a crime against someone else, that a deadly crime or what have you. Your lives aren't in danger right now. Like, why doesn't something in those officers' heads click and say, number one priority here is to protect and serve? Like, taking a life, why does it resort to that? I've seen situations where a white man or a white woman can be all irate and belligerent and sometimes even threatening to police officers. You see it on video, and somehow the situation gets de-escalated. They're talking to them in a calming manner, trying to calm them down. At worst, you may get tased, but you're not losing your life. No one is pulling a gun and shooting, right? Like that, or choking you out.
It was so unnecessary.
Right? Like, so, like, that's where the black community and minorities are just fed up, and that's where all that emotion and energy is coming from. Now, the other stuff that resulted from that took place after the protest, to me, that's completely separate in my mind. Those are, in my opinion, people with different agendas, people who are out to do harm and commit crimes.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope everybody listening to us right now realizes that everything that happened with the riots and the thefts and, mm-hmm. and everything that happened with the looting,
yeah.
the fires, whatever, we know that that's wrong.
Yeah,
we know that that's wrong, but that shouldn't take away with what the big picture issue is here, Ike.
I agree.
And hopefully this has ended. Hopefully the fires have ended, because once that ends, now it's now what? And how does this become the incident that finally changes things? Like that's what I would ask. How does this become the incident? Like, because I'll just put it on me as a white man, right? Because we know what happens. These things happen when it's in our face, when it's shoved in our face with social media, and we can't get away from it. Then we're like, all right, that's wrong, and we can't have that anymore, and we're gonna stop that, right? And then that goes away, and then the next incident happens, and we say the same thing, but yet nothing
ever
changes.
That's the fear, yeah. That's the fear.
Nothing ever changes because that's what's happened, right? Yeah. So how do we?
Like, this isn't the first time this has happened, and people have been mad and marched and protested, and
but you know what? White people get over it, but. But yes. People of color stew, and it yep. happens again
yep.
and again and again. And this is what happens when it builds up from a couple of incidents, right, in a short period of time. And if you watch that video and you viewed that video, and I heard you on Angelo this morning, and you said that you sat down with your kids and you watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it is difficult to get out of your head.
Yeah.
I will never get that video and him crying for his life out of his head for nothing, for no reason. You know why? Because the cop felt tough, kneeling on top of him, looking at the crowd, saying, "I'm in charge, not you guys."
Right.
As he killed him.
Yeah, and that's an image that I think a lot of people will forever have in their brain.
Oh, my God, man.
And you know what, John?
Powerful.
I hope they do. I hope that image is there, because it's a lot of those images that a lot of minorities, particularly African Americans, have of their loved ones, relatives, friends.
I heard you this morning.
That they can't get out of their heads.
I heard you this morning talking about how you're teaching your son to drive, and mm-hmm. one of the things that isn't in the driving manual is what happens when you get pulled over. How do you handle yourself
yes.
to make sure? How you hope that when you do get pulled over, it's by somebody good and mm-hmm. not somebody that's out there to try to get you or do something to you, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
that's something as a white man that I have to say I've never, ever thought of. Trying to teach my children to drive, and I have to give them instructions on what to do so they don't get killed.
Yeah, it's the truth.
Like, and that's what you have to put in your head if you're a white person and you really want change, because we really need change in this country. We need to stop talking about it. We can't forget about it. And this has to be the moment that we can do it, Ike.
Yeah.
215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. We'll open the phone lines for you coming up next. Obviously, it's going to be an emotional day, but it's one of the days that we need to kind of take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
This is what it's all about.
This is community radio. We're here as a community.
215-592-9494. Marks and Reese on 94W. All right, Marks and Reese, we're back. Normally, we would have a Twitter question. It's not appropriate today. It's brought to you by Marks Jewelers. Marks and Forever Mark want to thank our brave nurses. Go to marksjewelers.squarespace.com. Nominate a nurse to win jewelry from Marks Jewelers and Forever Mark. And as we said at the top of the show, Ike, we will listen. If there's stuff that's going on in the news in the city of Philadelphia with any of this, you know, any rioting or stuff like that or demonstrations, and we feel like that it's pertinent for you to know, we'll tell you. Mm-hmm. But as far as we know right now, it's, you know, at least out our window, things are relatively calm. But let's get to the phones. People want to talk. We are here for you. Let's go to Matt in Roxborough. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you doing?
Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Matt?
What's up? Ike, I appreciate you this morning. I heard you, what you were saying, and it got me to thinking. You know, I grew up in a predominantly black neighborhood. I'm a white guy, Willenboro, New Jersey, home of Carl Lewis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my upbringing was totally different. Being a kid growing up in that environment, nobody seems different to me. And I'm blessed to have grown up that way, to not have that built-in bias. But, you know, I hear a lot of people out here saying that these people that are rioting need to do this and need to do that. And growing up in a community that was predominantly black, you know, I got to learn stuff that they had to go through that I didn't have to go through, even at a younger age, even in the 80s. And, you know, people are saying trust in the system. Well, here's the thing. You can look through history, and there's been multiple reasons given to not trust the system. You could just look up Black Wall Street, okay? That is just now they're digging up a mass grave because they don't know the number of bodies, and it was a prosperous black town in Tulsa that got ransacked. People were killed, and they destroyed all their property. And it was never litigated in the courts. And then earlier today, you hear, even on the station, a gentleman called up and said, well, George Floyd died of natural causes because their county coroner was putting that narrative out there. And now you have to understand, with those two types of instances, that's why black people are upset.
Yeah.
Because guess what? You're telling them that the system you're saying trust in isn't going to work. It takes two to make that party happen. Them using the system and then the system doing what it's supposed to do. And it has systemically failed them for generations. We're talking 3-4 generations.
Mm-hmm.
And as a white person, we have to do better in understanding that this is the type of pain they're going through. And they're having their grandmothers, their great grandmothers, great uncles tell them these stories. Some of these people are still alive that have went through these things. And they have to realize that they're day is different than ours and just dealing with everyday life. So the anger, while the looting and rioting isn't something that should be encouraged or justified, I'm not mad at them because I choose to look at the cause and not the effect. Okay.
All right, Matt, appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you getting in. Yeah, I'm not letting them off the hook at all. I'm treating them separately, the rioters and the looters and those people. The people that actually wanted the protest, I respect a great deal. The people that just were out there to
And there were a lot of good nonviolent protests out there Saturday where you had a lot of people working together, police allowing it, protest to go on without interfering with it. And then it just got crazier later in the day.
One thing you can't say for Philly police was that they I know a lot of other police departments have come under fire for the way they handled it. Philly police were more or less just saying, they just let it burn.
Yeah,
for the most part.
Yeah,
300 fires over the weekend.
And I'm sure there are people that are probably like, well, why would they do that?
Well,
because they don't want to be in a combative situation.
They more or less tried to contain it rather than, right. I mean, 10 years ago, it would have been a totally different story and how they handled it. 5 years ago, probably too. Charles Ramsey, when he was the police commissioner here, he's the one that instituted that type of strategy, which is not to have the heavy hand. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows what happened in Philadelphia and wherever else is wrong. Mm-hmm. We all know that.
Yep.
I'm not letting them off the hook. I'm not saying I don't want to. We don't want to focus on that, right?
Well, because that's the flip side of that coin is that that becomes...
That's the out.
Yeah, that becomes the number one thing that is driven, is you're focusing on that, when the reality is the bigger issue is why the protests were taking place.
Let's go to Wade. We have two Wades in Chester. We have the first Wade. This is going to be one of the first times you don't argue with him in a while, Ike.
What? Let's not count our eggs before they hatch.
Hi, Wade.
How are you, gentlemen?
What's up, Wade?
Hi, Wade.
Ike, I'm gonna give you a break today.
Okay.
But listen, I think that I feel like we kind of phony type of way is because we're living in a world and in a society that this plan has been put in since all of us was born, all of our ancestors and everything. And then we come on the radio today after Floyd's death and after all this burning and rioting and everything and act like we're going to change something. We want change. Well, change is unrealistic because the only thing you can change is in your household that you don't have your kids that you're raising to be racist. But there's going to always be people that don't like black people, don't like white people. And then the other thing about that black and white, who is black and who is white? John, you're not white. You're a tan. I'm not black. I got a black car. I don't look like the black car I got. But we've all allowed ourselves to be fooled to believe that we were, like that old saying, it's easier for me to fool you than to convince you that you've been fooled. You see what I'm saying? Even when I hang up this phone, you're still going to consider yourself white.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're still going to consider yourself black because this is what we've been programmed to think and believe that we are. Colin Kaepernick,
so then what
don't
are
know
we?
Much of anything, and nor do we know much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to take a stand, and he actually took a stand and risked his career.
Yeah. He didn't risk Colin it. His Kaepernick. Career's over.
Yeah.
I know. You see what I'm saying? Like, yeah. no one said anything about Colin Kaepernick. Damn, he had a point there and this and that. The only thing.
Sure, we did.
Right
wait,
now,
wait, hold on, wait. Sure, we did. There were plenty of people, including myself, that spoke up in support of what Colin Kaepernick was doing. Just like when the Malcolm Jenkins and the Chris Long and those guys were doing it as well. So there were plenty of people
Let me change my phrase then.
Okay.
When I say no one, I mean the powers that be.
Oh, I got
because
you. Okay.
If it mattered, Colin Kaepernick will still have his job. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's why I'm saying when I say no one, I mean the people that could have
that can affect change. Yes.
Yeah.
Now,
you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
But now we want change. Why? Because it's in our face. Guess what? That's unrealistic, bro.
So what do we do, Wade? What do we do? Because I feel hopeless.
John, you got kids, right?
I do.
Teach your kids not to hate people because of their color, their race, or their creed. That's the only thing you can do is you can minimize the people that is racist. But you can't stop racism. You're not going to be able to stop people from doing dumb stuff.
Can we stop, Wade? Thank you. Can we stop the police from doing what they're doing? I mean, I was raised by two parents that don't have a racist bone in their bodies. I never heard the N-word. I never heard anything. My parents are liberals. You know what I mean? They're bleeding heart liberals. So, like, I was raised in a great household to where I respect everybody. I never looked at color of skin. And, of course, my children are going to be raised the same way. My wife's parents are Egyptian and Palestinian, so it's not the same, but they're immigrants to this country, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I
think his overall point there is that it starts at home. Right, I think we all believe racism is a behavior that's taught.
Totally,
right?
Yeah.
Kids don't come out racist, right? They're not born racist. You're taught a behavior. You're taught to view people a certain way because of the color of their skin.
I agree, but I guess.
But that's where it starts, and it starts at home.
No, you are right, but yeah. I guess the problem, and it's one of the reasons why I do feel hopeless at sometimes, is that 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I was told that this next generation that's coming up is going to stop all this because we're not going to be, as our kids get older and they become parents and we're grandparents, then the world will be different. And I haven't seen any of that yet.
Well, you got two different things here. So, this is in part when we're talking about police brutality and using excessive force. Like, that's the problem there is that you're talking about someone who's paid to protect and serve you, right? Like, that's the problem there. And to be killed by people that are supposed to protect you when you're unarmed for minor violations at times, seemingly, or without, or without having the number one priority of preserving life. That is what's disheartening. That is what is hurtful, right? Like, that is what is frustrating to a community that says, listen, we already have the deck stacked against us to try to be prosperous in this world, in this country, with as far as economic status. The last thing we need is to be in fear of being pulled from our car coming from an 8-hour shift, 12-hour shift, working, trying to get back home, that some cop is afraid of me, so his first instinct is to shoot to kill or to strangle hold, right? Or pull me out of the car. Like that's what's the frustrating thing for those other people who are law-abiding citizens.
Well, I mean, I guess it's one thing that to have people like you, and it's another thing for police officers that it's their job to protect you, and they're doing the exact opposite. I mean, if we could just get that, if we get that straightened out, we could work on the rest.
Yeah, I mean,
we can't get that straightened out. Yeah. Big Rube's checking in. Big Rube.
Yo, brothers, what's up?
What's up, Rube?
Hi, Rube.
What's up? You know, I can tell you, Mayhem was just texting. You know, we keep it real to each other on the text. So, you know what I mean? Like, all this, he'll tell you, we the only people in this country that's been multiple names. Oh, they're this name, that. Remember, you can do your research. No black person came up with this African-American. I don't subscribe by it. Don't ever call me by it. No, nothing. I'm black. Let's keep it that way. But Wade, he urged me to call. You know what I mean? Like you said, 70-plus years ago, anybody that was a non-WASP in America wasn't white. You know what I mean? You was Irish, Polish, whatever your background, Italian. So, you know what I mean? I like what he said. But we have to get to a civil thing. It's like D.L. Hughley, the famous comedian, said, the same stature that black athlete gives you entertainment with between them lines is the same thing that'll get him killed. So if you enjoy that black athlete for what he does and give you that enjoyment, how about translating that to his real life? And as far as us fans, how we look at things and how we kumbaya when the Eagles win and any, you know what I mean, sports you love, that we win and we like that, that has to be that human factor 24/7. You know what I mean?
With life, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like racism, I mean, as far as, you know, I went to school and all that, prejudice is what people have with each other. Racism is a system. Say, look, you black man, this is where you gotta live. This is where you live. This is, you can't get this loan. This is, that's what we dealing with. That's, you know what I mean? That's the system that has to be broken. You know what I mean? We coming together as human beings, black, white, and whatever you want to subscribe yourself to, that's what we have to break down to break a system. And it starts yesterday. You know what I mean? Like, Colin Kaepernick, what he did now is like, wow, now I see what he was talking about. It shouldn't have had to come to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Rube.
Appreciate it, Big Rube.
Good to talk to you as always. Yep. Yeah, I mean, the Kaepernick knelt, and at the time, it was, we talked about it on Sports Talk Radio, but then it became instant politics, right, to where you're not convincing anybody that feels the other way that what they're doing is okay. I mean,
or you're told that you hate the country.
Well,
you,
I mean,
you hate the American flag. I mean, that's what it got turned into.
Right. Which how do you debate that with somebody? He didn't respect the military. He hates the country. That's why he's doing it. To where why he was doing that was exactly what just happened in this country last week, because it continues to happen and nothing's ever done about it. That's why he did it. Like Colin Kaepernick kneeling and costing himself his NFL career is because of what just happened, and it didn't change.
Yeah, I mean, you know, George Floyd's untimely death isn't the first, unfortunately. There are many of them. All you have to do is do the research. You'll see that this has been going on, and people have been, you know, trying to bring attention to it for the longest. And obviously my first recollection of this happening and from a standpoint of it being caught on videos. It's one thing when you're growing up and you see it in your neighborhood, and as a teenager, you know it's wrong, but you're like, okay, that's the police, right?
So just how it is.
Yeah, you know, when you're 14, 15 years old, and back then, you don't, it doesn't have the same impact on you. But I can remember the Rodney King situation and feeling like, oh, they have to be punished for this. This is on video. This is unbelievable. Like, how can you get away with this? And they still got away with it.
And they sent him to Simi Valley, California, with a much different jury that they would have, and what happened. And they got away with it.
Yes.
Like, literally, the evidence, the only evidence that you need is right in front of you, and somehow they get out of it.
Right. And that's where the outrage.
28 years ago.
And that was 28 years ago. And for this to still be happening, there has to be training put in place from the top, right? Like I understand policemen are out here doing a dangerous job. They put their life on the line every day they go out.
So they do.
And that's not lost on me. That's not lost on me. But at the same time, they're also given the responsibility of trying to preserve life and protect people. And they don't have the luxury of choosing who they want to preserve, whose lives they want to preserve. Or they shouldn't have the luxury, let me put it that way. They shouldn't have the luxury of choosing when to do that. We're all supposed to be viewed the same under their eyes, under their guidance. You shouldn't look at a white man or a white woman one way and handle a traffic stop or a police call differently from when you're being called or pulling over a black man or a woman. That shouldn't happen. And I don't know if it's just in embedded in their brains.
I don't really understand it either.
And I don't understand it, but it has to be viewed as an issue first and foremost.
Oh, yeah, it's the biggest issue.
And here's what African-American and other minorities are protesting about, in part, or crying out for. They want those that don't look like them to be out just as outraged and hold them accountable. Not only just the white race, but how about other police officers of all races? And I know it's difficult for them because there is a brotherhood there, brotherhood, sisterhood there with the law enforcement. But man, wrong is wrong. Wrong is wrong. And when you see something being wrong, instead of the code of silence or supporting one another and standing in solidarity, man, that's where you got to have the same empathy for that life that had just been taken, that family, how they're going to be impacted. Now someone, their father isn't coming home. Someone's husband isn't coming home. Then maybe their main provider of their household has just been taken away. How does that family go on from now or, you know, through the rest of their lives? Over a $20 potential forgery check? Like, come on, man. Like,
the real question is you have to ask yourself, if that was a white person that did the same thing, would he have had three cops kneeling on him and his neck and snapping his neck and killing him? And I would say no. I would say no. The handling is different. The handling's different. I mean, this isn't opinion. This is just fact. It's just fact. You know, when videos start coming out of white people being killed by police in the same manner, let me know, because I haven't seen those. I'm told that they're out there. I haven't seen them. This is what I've seen over and over again. I've seen incidents like this over and over again. It doesn't change. Nothing changes. How does it change? How do we change it? 215-592-9494. It's Marks and Reese. How does this become the moment that finally changes it? I mean, that's really what we have to ask ourselves. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. Don't go anywhere. Hey, listen. Imagine going back to work, everybody. All right? Going out, right? When all this breaks, you know what's going to happen. You're going to go back out. You're going to be feeling good. Right? And you can do it with the hair you've always wanted, because Dr. Glatt and his team are now open for business, and Dr. Glatt's office is sterile and he follows all the CDC guidelines. So what are you waiting for? If you're still working from home, it's the perfect opportunity. Get the procedure and no one will ever know that you had it done. They'll just know that you look great. I'm happy the way I looked. I had my hair restoration procedure done 8.5 years ago. My hair is fuller and thicker. You would never know I had the procedure done because I don't have that unsightly scar on the back of your head. Dr. Glatt and his team have over 20 years of experience in hair restoration. His office is the longest-running NeoGraft office in the Philadelphia area. So what does that mean? It means if your hair is thinning, you can get your hair back. Get your confidence, get your youth back, and trust Dr. Glatt. Most experience, most success in hair restoration. And you can do it now, and no one will know. Go to the website, drglatt.com, drglatt.com. You can see my before and after pictures, or you can call his office right now, 610-980-4000. Talk to Dr. Glatt's hair team right now, 610-980-4000 or drglatt.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.